Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley here. Gary McNamara right over there. Welcome to the Monday show. It is Mid-America Week here on the Midnight Radio Network. Lots going on. Gary, how are you?
Good. Had a good weekend. Yourself?
You know, I had a great weekend. It was absolutely fantastic. Spent all day Saturday out in the yard just finding things to do.
So did I.
Up the lawnmower.
Yeah, did the same.
I pulled weeds. I did anything I could do to stay outside. And it was a great week. And then I ended up in my office working until about midnight because I realized, wait a minute, I actually had things to do. Oops. And then so I went over to my office and I was there until midnight Saturday night. But it was a really good, productive weekend.
And then it got cold.
And then I was on my way out the door to the office, and the wind had picked up, and I thought, you know, I'll grab a light jacket, and I'll take it with me, and I'm glad I did. I stepped out of there. I wasn't the only one working late. There were other people in our office building, and I'm looking around, and there's all of these lights that are on, and then all of a sudden, I feel that wind hit me,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't felt that cool wind in a while, and I was like, wow.
No, we had a week almost in the 80s. My pool actually got up to 77 degrees.
Wow.
I did 30 laps in my pool, and then it got cold.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah. Well, it was a great weekend, and we're going to start this week off, Mid-America Week, with a special version of Ask the Law. We're going to do a wraparound. We'll do an Ask the Law before Mid-America and another one coming up. Trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. Trooper Dial, how are you?
Doing great.
Hey, you just went to spring training out in Arizona. I want to talk to you about that if we can. If we can squeeze that in coming up, that's not an official part of Ask the Law. But we're going to do all of that. Drivers, if you have a question, a regulatory question for Trooper Dial, this is your chance to get it in at 800-288-9227. We'll get you lined up right now at 800-288-9227, and we'll get to Monty here in just a few minutes. It is Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, and we are here on Monday, March 28th, 2011. All the information can change without notice. It is up to date as of today. I want to let you know that the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. The website, askthelaw.org, you can click on the big red button that says email. Ask the Law to submit your CMV questions any time. Trooper Dial, fresh back from Arizona, and a really cool trip out there to watch the Rangers in spring training. A pretty good trip, huh?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
We were talking before the show. You know, the Southwest has this country is unbelievable when it comes to the destinations and all the great stuff you can see on a vacation. I mean, you can go for miles and miles and miles and miles. And it's just amazing to see all the great things. And you were telling me just some of the things that you guys checked out while you were out there. But how many games did you guys get in during the time that you were there?
We went to the game. We went 4 days. We had dedicated to ball games.
Yeah.
Actually, 3.5.
Yeah.
And we saw 6 ball games.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. I just love that.
Yeah.
I was saying before the show is that baseball is still pure. It's still one of these sports where you can go out to the park, enjoy it, hear the sounds, see the sights, and it really has still retains that authentic feel as opposed to everything that's piped into some of the arena games these days with basketball and hockey and stuff. And it's just, you know, loud music and screaming and everything else. And they want it to be a rock concert. I want to go see a game. I want to see something. I want to hear the crack of the bat. I want to, you know, if I'm going to an evening game, I want to see the little bugs hovering around the lights. You know, I want to see all of that. I want to see, the sights of a real baseball game. And it's that has to be a real exciting vacation. All right. You and I are going to talk about everything that we're going to, well, gosh, everything that we need to get caught up on since the last Ask the Law. There are a few items here. There are plenty of things going on between now and the end of the week at Louisville
for
Mid-America. And then we're going to do another show next Monday after Mid-America just to kind of recap everything that's been going on and get caught up there as well. But drivers, if you have a question about hours of service, about CSA, or anything else, if there's something going on right now, maybe you're confused on a part of the hours of service rule, you've been told one thing, but you think it's another, we get that quite often. Any regulatory question that you might have, now's the time to get it in at 800-288-9227. We'll pay for the phone call, 800-288-9227. 9227. Get in while Trooper Dial is here, and we will make sure that we get you the answer in a timely fashion. Again, get on board now, 800-288-9227. Lots coming up on the cross-border trucking issue, EOBRs, CSA, hours of service, and everything in between. So stand by for that. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here courtesy of our friends at Old Blue USA. We want to remind you that all the information is up to date as of today. Monday, March 28, 2011, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. 800-288-9227. That's our number. If you want to get in with Trooper Dial, you got a question on CSA. You got a question on hours of service, any regulatory item. Now is the time to get your calls in. 800-288-9227. Now, in Texas, we have part-time no idling restrictions, just as we have part-time legislators. So, I do wonder if the TMTA is going to try again and put in that exemption. You know, a couple of years ago, the last legislative session, they were trying to get in to get that sleeper berth exemption for idling past 5 minutes.
Correct.
Extended.
Right.
They were not. There was some stalling on the floor that had to do with something else, and they were not able to get their time in. So I'm wondering, and I have not heard. I did not hear from TMTA if they were trying to get that reinstated, that exemption reinstated or not.
I went and did some bill lookups trying to find out just what you're talking about to see if another bill had been introduced that would go back and extend or allow drivers using the sleeper berth to get their mandatory rest. And as of yet, I haven't been able to find one. Now, I did find a lot of bills that have been introduced both in the Senate and the House that are allowing the additional weight if the truck is equipped with some type of anti-idling reduction equipment.
Right.
But as of yet, I have not found one that would address letting them idle.
And a few of the states have those weight exemptions for anti-idle devices. It's usually somewhere in the area of 300 to 500 pounds or
correct.
Something.
Correct.
All right, but to get you up to speed, if you're wondering what we're alluding to, and that is in Texas, in parts of Texas, the no idling limit past 5 minutes goes into effect April 1st.
Correct.
And it is only during the warmer months, April 1st through
October 31st.
October 31st. So starting here in just a few days.
Yes.
That will go back into effect. So you will no longer in parts of Texas.
Yeah. Parts are going to be pretty much, around the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay.
And down in Central Texas, Austin, Bastrop, the counties north and south of Travis County.
Okay.
So far, those are the only two that I have, areas that I have found that are affected by the no idling.
Is there a way for drivers to find out where those, exactly what those areas are? If they get in those regions, what do they do?
What they need to do is it's found on the Texas Environmental Quality Control website, TECQ.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do a search that or use one of their Google engine searches or any one of the search engines and just put anti-idling in Texas, and it should be able to bring it up and give them the exact list.
Yeah. All right. So just know that I guess now's the time, if you haven't already, to look into some anti-idling technology, whether it's the battery packs, which usually the battery packs are OEM equipped on the newer trucks. You can get some of those anti-idling devices that rely on batteries. The other anti-idling devices have been out there for a while, and they range anywhere from a couple thousand dollars to $12,000. I've seen an APU well over $10,000.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know how you justify a $10,000, $12,000 APU, but I'll just leave that up to the experts. But there's plenty of devices out there, and a lot of them have financing. This is the time, you know. Beyond that, beyond the limitations that are in place as a matter of legislation and or rules in any state or region or county or city, you just have to consider that that APU could be a lifesaver if you're stranded out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
So just keep that in consideration. Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Good morning. Welcome, Gary McNamara, along with Eric Hartley.
Want to remind you that Ask the Law is a service of Old Blue USA. Retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. The information is up to date as of today, March 28, 2011. Can change without notice. All the answers to your questions, by the way, can come to you easily at 800-288-9227 and are absolutely free. We charge you no extra. Your monthly bill will have absolutely nothing extra on it for this program, okay? So just make sure that if there is a problem with your bill, you just call somebody at customer service. We'll take care of that for you. 800-288-9227. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only? You and I were talking about Mexican trucks.
Yes.
Here's what the DOT has said. They're going to pay for EOBRs on Mexican trucks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just wrote an article in the, it'll appear in the May edition. Actually, I'm just finishing it up to appear in the May edition of Company Driver Magazine on this. And here's what the DOT basically is saying. That we cannot require the Mexican trucks to do anything that the U.S. trucks aren't required to do. That's why they're paying for them, because there is no EOBR mandate in place in the states. So right now, they're not required to have them. The state trucks.
Correct.
All right. The Mexican trucks would be required to have them because we want to keep track of that information. Basically, they said, we want to own that data.
Yes.
All right. DeFazio and others have come out and said this is ridiculous. By the way, not the first time. Back under the first pilot program, we paid about $250,000 to equip Mexican trucks with GPS units.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that this is going to be probably in the area of $750,000.
I thought it was closer to $1 million.
Okay. DeFazio says it's $4 million.
$4 million?
Yeah. So I don't know what it is. My thought is it's anything above one penny is too much. You had a theory as to why this is being done from either a legislative or rulemaking perspective. Why is that?
Well, as we know, the first go around, there were several groups, and I'm not going to get out here and start naming groups, but their information that they passed on was that the Mexican driver, once they crossed over into the United States, they are required to follow the FMCSA regulations.
Right.
The whole book, it includes the hours of service, just like a Canadian driver. When they come down into the United States, they have to abide by the U.S. rules. Well, these groups were putting out information that the Mexican drivers were not in compliance with the U.S. regulations. There was also information passed on about cabotage. The cabotage is where a foreign carrier comes into the United States, drops his load. He picks up a load, takes that to another place in the United States, drops that load, and he can continue on and on and on and on until he finally gets the load headed back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They are not allowed to do that,
right.
Just like a Canadian motor carrier.
Right.
They can bring loads into the United States, drop the load, and take a load back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So these groups are putting out information that the Mexican motor carriers were involved in a lot of cabotage. My feelings are FMCSA, to prove these naysayers, is saying, okay, look, we're going to take and foot the bill to put the EOBRs in the Mexican trucks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take and monitor the data. It'll be sent directly to FMCSA or to a contractor. They will take and analyze the data. And if they do find someone that is in violation, they pick the phone up, call whatever state agency and say, hey, we got a problem. Here's where the truck is. Go get him.
Right.
This way they can go back and say, no, they are in full compliance with the U.S. hours of service. They are in compliance by not being involved in cabotage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel that they're taking the extra step to prove to these groups that, no, they are not doing what you're saying they're doing.
Did you, when you were, before you were retired, did you ever pull over a Mexican truck that was doing that?
No. No,
But there was no way to prove that they were back then.
No,
well, you would know where their load was going, right?
Yes. We would have bills that would sit there and say that they were coming from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
going to some other location, and we would take and check their logbook. And I have, as of yet, or back when I was working, I never did find a Mexican carrier that was in violation.
But they weren't going to carry a bill that was saying, I'm going from one point in the States to another point in the States.
Oh, no,
They wouldn't do that.
No.
So it was hard to prove.
But most of the time, the ones that we stopped that were loaded had bills from a location in Mexico.
Right.
And
had a destination supposedly here in the States.
Right. And most of the destinations were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area,
mm-hmm.
and stopped them when they were empty.
Right.
And they would have information showing that they were headed to such and such a location,
right.
to pick up a load headed back to Mexico.
Right.
So as far as me personally, when I was working, stopping drivers involved in cabotage, no, I did not.
Can they, if a carrier in Mexico, the truck starts in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and they have a load to pick up in Dallas, or let's just assume under this new Mexican proposal, or the old Mexican pilot program, can they pick up that load? Can they leave from Mexico, go to pick up a load in the States as long as its destination is Mexico? In other words, run empty, deadhead, to pick up that load and bring it back to Mexico?
Sure.
I mean, economically, it doesn't make much sense, but legally, they can do that.
Yeah, they can send a truck from Mexico up to Dallas to pick a load up to take back to Mexico.
Yeah. The rule only states that the load country of origin has to be opposite of its destination.
Correct.
All right. I want to talk to you more about this here in just a few minutes. We'll talk more about this, this proposal for the Mexican pilot program, the new one, the cross-border program with Mexico, what this may look like. CSA, letters are going out.
Yes.
They have gone out.
Yes.
And I think... We expected that. You predicted on Ask the Law that was going to happen.
Right.
And they did in just implementing CSA.
Right. And right now, going back and reviewing some of the prior testimony or prior articles that were put out, FMCSA still has to wait until they get a final rule published on them taking any type of enforcement action.
Okay.
So right now, they can send the letters out. You know, once the motor carrier's data reaches the threshold, FMCSA can send out a notice that, hey, you know, this is kind of get your attention
right.
letter.
Here's where you're weak. Here's what your score shows.
Start improving. And I think probably the last article I read, they're looking at doing a notice of proposed rulemaking sometime in June to get everything finalized to where FMCSA can go in and actually start enforcing or leveling civil penalties for the motor carriers that need the interventions.
All right. Stand by. More Ask the Law coming up right here
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227. It's Ask the Law, Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
All right, we're talking about CSA, hours of service, and everything else. Just got word just the other day, the HEA has warned that they will sue if the right now the proposal for this hours of service becomes a rule. This was said out at the Truckload Carriers Association's meeting, and Lyndon Finney called me at home the next day. We talked about it that night because he posted a story at thetrucker.com. And the next morning, he calls me on my cell phone. And he says, can you believe they just came out and said it? Now, we have anticipated that there would be lawsuits. In fact, Lyndon Finney himself wrote an article not too long ago in The Trucker. It was right after the hours of service proposal hit. The notice of proposed rulemaking, it was right around that time, and he wrote an article that basically said, look, it doesn't matter what the final rule turns out to be because it will likely change as a result of another lawsuit. There will be another lawsuit. And I wonder if we could see multiple lawsuits here because Public Citizen doesn't like this, the ATA doesn't like this proposal, and if it becomes a final rule in its current form, then I think we may see a couple of different lawsuits here.
Either way, this is one of those that either way FMCSA goes,
mm-hmm.
regardless of whether they keep what is currently in place, which, from what I understand, most all of those involved in the transportation business have stepped up and said, we like them, don't change them. Now then, FMCSA has entered into the agreement for the advocacy groups to mm-hmm. drop the lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
that they would go back and revisit and do all this. Now then, if they change and side with the advocacy groups, now then all the those involved in transportation are
right. right.
around.
Exactly.
So FMCSA right now is in a no-win situation.
Speaking of FMCSA, the truckers may attend the FMCSA Motor Carrier committee meeting at the Mid-America Trucking Show coming up in Louisville this week. The committee is developing suggestions for the agency to define safety violations by motor carrier management. The U.S. Transportation Secretary can suspend, amend, or revoke any part of a motor carrier's registration if it discovers a carrier officer has a practice of avoiding compliance or concealing noncompliance of FMCSA and hazardous material regulations. The committee began working on the subject at its December meeting following the Louisville meeting, which may include expert presentation. It plans to complete a report to the president's administration on its conclusions. The committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. March 31st. That's this week in Louisville, Kentucky. With the last hour reserved for public comment. It's going to be in the Willow Room at the Galt House Hotel. Galt House Hotel. The public can provide public comment during the April 1st meeting set for 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. In Lobby B, Meeting Room C101, and that's going to be at the Kentucky Fair and Expo Center there at where the Mid-America Show is. More on this coming up on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.